Well, hello to everyone on Zoom land, as it were. It is a delight to be here. Actually, it's sad that we're still here, that we're not in person, but it is, as I like to say, is what it is. For a while, I thought I could still meet up in Eureka. We were able to meet two Sabbaths on the schedule. When California went back to different restrictions, we were able to meet because we were still red, but the state of California moved Humboldt County to purple. So we are back to basically square one, just like the Bay Area here. And that's what it is. It's sad too, because I have a member who is in a hospital in ICU and I'm not able to visit. No visitors are allowed within the hospital, just phone calls, and that makes it very difficult for our members. Right now, today, we have pandemic, we have politics, we have personal health issues, we have a national economy that's having difficulty. And throughout it all, there is a theme that even the United States recognized, at least at the beginning of the establishment of the country, there is a theme that is in the Bible that we need to be part of, and that is thanksgiving, or giving of thanks. Trials do not define us. What does define us is our actions and reactions to the things that occur in our lives. Thanksgiving is one of the events that the country has identified that brings them together. Over time, how they look at Thanksgiving or the giving of thanks has changed. I want to take us back to the beginning. In 1782, I don't think any of us were around at the time, but the Congress made a proclamation establishing Thanksgiving as a national holiday. I do want to read that. In 1782, there's a recognition of where our Thanksgiving needs to be to. Proclamation in 1782 from the Continental Congress. It being the indispensable duty of all nations, not only to offer up their supplications to Almighty God, the giver of all good, for his gracious assistance in a time of distress, but also in a solemn and public manner to give him praise for his goodness in general, and especially for great and signal interpositions of his providence in their behalf. Therefore, the United States in Congress assembled, taking into their consideration the many instances of divine goodness to these states, do hereby recommend to the inhabitants of these states in general to observe and request the several states to interpose their authority in appointing and commanding the observation of Thursday, the 28th day of November of 1782, as a day of solemn thanksgiving to God for all his mercies. And they do further recommend to all ranks to testify to their gratitude to God for his goodness by a cheerful obedience to his laws, and by promoting, each in his station and by his influence, the practice of true religion and undefiled religion, which is the great foundation of public prosperity and national happiness. What a profound document. What a profound start to what we call Thanksgiving. Some today may call it Turkey Day. I've heard that a lot. Some say it's just a day of football. They've forgotten where it came from. I want to move forward just 7 years, and this is President George Washington also addressing the nation on the day of giving thanks. He begins by saying, where it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God. What a start to a document. Providence, meaning the protection, the care, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Wow, what a document. He continued on and he said that to enable all of us, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he, God, alone knows is best. A recognition that God created this nation and that God continues to prosper the nation was part of our founding fathers. I want to jump ahead now a century plus, almost an entire century, to Abraham Lincoln. And this is where the national holiday of Thanksgiving was established as a national holiday, not just in the several states, because the states themselves would choose when and how to exercise Thanksgiving. Sarah Josepha Hale was petitioning the Congress for 15 years to make a national holiday for Thanksgiving. And it got to President Lincoln and he responded. He responded. This is October 3rd, 1863, 2 years into the Civil War. The Civil War had yet to be fought and won. The nation was divided. And Mr. Lincoln recognized the providence of God in bringing this nation together. He writes, "The year that is drawing toward its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these boundaries, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they came." And I'll come back to that because that's part of God's word. "Others have added, which are so extraordinary in nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart, which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. In the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to foreign states to invite and to provoke their aggression." You know, the United States is in the middle of civil war, and other nations could have taken that opportunity to attack a divided nation. That didn't happen. That didn't happen. "Peace has been preserved with all nations. Order has been maintained. The laws have been respected and obeyed. And harmony has prevailed everywhere except in the theater of military conflict. While that theater has been greatly contracted by the advancing armies and navies of the Union, needful divisions of wealth and strength from the fields of peaceful industry to the national defense have not arrested the plow, the shuttle, or the ship, the axe, has enlarged the borders of our settlements and the mines, as well as the iron and coal of the precious metals have yielded even more abundantly than heretofore. Population has steadily increased, notwithstanding the waste that has been made in the camp, the siege in the battlefield, and the country, rejoicing in the consciousness of augmented strength and vigor, is permitted to expect continuance of years with large increase of freedom." He's recognized, even though there's a civil war, the nation is still growing. The nation is still being blessed. Here's a wonderful point that Abraham Lincoln adds. "No human counsel has devised, nor has any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, has nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed fit to me and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwells in the heavens." What an extraordinary sentence. What an extraordinary statement that was made. Our nation was founded on the reality that God, not man, brought about this nation's existence. And that reality was recognized by such men as were responsible for its building. They saw this could not happen in any other way. It had to be from God. This was a Christian nation, a nation that gave thanks to God for its very existence, for its bounty, and for its protection and growth and peace. And we should continue to give God our great thanks for this nation. God was recognized as the giver, and thanks was offered, and we do have a day of giving thanks, or Thanksgiving. It's not Turkey Day, it's not Football Day, it's a day of thanksgiving to God for this nation. In God's word, being thankful can be considered a major theme. There is a major theme throughout the entire book about being thankful. And there is a cause and effect. If we are thankful, there is an effect from being thankful. You know, we can read through the Psalms, and David wrote constantly about being thankful and about proclaiming the praise of God, proclaiming our thankfulness or his thankfulness. Giving praise and giving thanks pretty much are interchangeable for David. That's not where I want to start today. I want to start in 1 Thessalonians 5. Here we are with pandemic. Here we are with trials and difficulties. Here we are. We still don't have a recognized president. I guess the courts are still battling it out, you know, 20-some days after the election. The pandemic has affected individuals' lives. Companies have failed. People have been unemployed. It's a time of trial and trouble. And yet, let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5 and see what God has to say about this. 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning in verse 14. 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning in verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. You know, sometimes it's hard when we're under pressure just to be patient. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone. You know, we don't do a tit for tat type thing. That's not Christian. This is a Christian mandate, actually, what we're reading here. But always pursue what is good for both for yourselves and for others. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. We always have an attitude of prayer that God is in the forefront of our thoughts. Verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. All these things list up the will of God, to exhort, to comfort, to uphold, to be patient, to help one another, to pursue what is good, to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and to give thanks for everything. Thanks for everything. Now, the word everything actually does mean everything in total, in its entirety. And we could sit here and go, I just lost my job. I can't see my family. For me, I can't visit someone who's in the hospital in the ICU. You know, how can I be thankful? But God said, all of this is part of his will. Whatever we're going through, it's part of his will. And the word will here is a determination, and that is a choice, a purpose and a decree. It's his desire that we be thankful, regardless of what we're going through. We're to be thankful, to have an attitude of gratitude, as it were. Over the years, you know, some people have wondered, what is God's will for them? I remember my early years, send me on a mission. You know, give me a hard task to do. And that would be the will of God. God's will is very simple. He wants us to be Christian and set an example for those around us. He wants us in his kingdom. That's his will. He wants us to change our lives so that we can be part of his kingdom. He wants us to have the mind of Christ in us, Philippians 2:5. He wants us to be thankful and to be thankful for all things. Are we inconvenienced? Yes. Are we disappointed? Yes. Is it hard sometimes? Yes. And yet we are to find that which is thankful. Being thankful is a remarkable command. and made more so because it's God's will. Well, what I want to do today is explore the concept of being thankful more thoroughly so that we can learn to become more like God. Remember, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how to become one with God and Jesus Christ and with one another. And being thankful is part of that. Being thankful is part of that. I know you've been told the story because I've heard it before and I've already told it before myself. The story of two sisters in Holland, Dutch sisters, Corrie and Betsy ten Boom, were born in Holland. A difficult time for them. It was Hitler's war. At a certain point, they were put into prison for having an illegal radio. And then they went from prison to the concentration camps. And they were put, the sisters were separated. And Corrie was put into a concentration barracks that was to house 400 residents, and they put 1,400 residents in there. Deplorable conditions. They're deplorable. And being in a concentration camp, the guards and the administration would abuse and torture the inmates there. It was very, very, very brutal. And the sisters, while in the camp, were talking that they were to be thankful. And what can we be thankful for? What can we be thankful for? And they thought, what could we be thankful for? And they came up with, or Corrie did, thankful for fleas. You know, sometimes you think, why would I want to be thankful for fleas? These little bitey things. It turns out that their barracks had the least amount of abuse because of the overabundance of fleas. Nobody wanted to go in there and abuse the inmates. Nobody wanted to go in there and administer any whatever they would administer. They were left alone. And by being left alone, they had a smuggled Bible and they read the Bible and they sang hymns. And nobody bothered them because of the fleas. Fleas. They were free to read the smuggled Bible and sing. Sometimes we find it difficult to have something to be thankful for. We're overwhelmed with situations in our lives, and that's pretty much all we could think about. And God says, take a breath. What is my perspective for you? Where do I want you? Everything we see around us is just a little bit of our eternity. As we like to say, this too shall pass. Corrie was released. Her sister didn't make it through the internment. Corrie was released and learned she was released by mistake. 1 week later, everyone of her age in that barracks was sent to their death. She spent the remainder of her life writing and visiting troubled people, teaching forgiveness. There's a movie of her war experiences titled The Secret Room. It was released in 1975. Corrie ten Boom died in 1983. She was a woman who got past Hitler's concentration camps, who got past the fleas, and then preached to so many about forgiveness. So many about forgiveness. We can be thankful for all things, even fleas. You know, if I continue to say the word fleas, I may start itching. But it's interesting that God commands us to be thankful. To be thankful. Let's go to Psalm 50, please. Psalm 50. I just want to throw a handful of scriptures at you. You may just want to write these down while I read them. Because there's the common thread through these. Psalm 50, verse 7. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. And, you know, when I read a phrase like that, sometimes I have to remind myself, God is God and I'm not. God makes the rules. God knows what's best. I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats out of your folds, for every beast of the field is mine. Everything is mine. and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. This world is God's. Every bit of wealth is God's. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine and all its fullness. I will eat the flesh of bulls. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? He's talking about the sacrifices. They're a physical sacrifice. It is a means by which God was teaching mankind. Verse 14, offer to God the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Offer to God thanksgiving and pay all your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. Offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. It's a sacrifice. You have to think it through. We have to understand who we are compared to God. Psalm 100. Psalm 100. We'll focus into it here. Psalm 100. Verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter into his gates. That we, when we go before God, we are going before the host of heaven, and we should start our prayers with thanksgiving. How has God intervened in our lives? What are the blessings from God? God calls them daily blessings. He gives us daily blessings. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. I had a conversation during Thanksgiving. I don't know how I would survive if I did not know the end of the story. We know what's coming. We know that, as I like to say the phrase, everything will be all right in the end. And if it's not all right, it's just not the end, because everything will be all right in the end. We know that the world is going to go through trials and troubles. And we know that God hasn't taken us out of this world, so we're going to experience and be impacted by some of these trials and troubles. That's life. And again, as I said, we are not defined by the trials and troubles that we find ourselves in. We are defined by how we act and react to what we find. Psalm 105, please. Psalm 105. Verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works, which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Seek, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Psalm 106, verse 1. Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Psalm 107. David had a theme here. He understood his relationship with God. Everything that David had came from God. We have to come to the conclusion that everything we have comes from God. Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, and from the north and from the south. Huge difference. There's a summit for Thanksgiving. I'd like to read Psalm 136. I personally call it the Psalm of Thanksgiving. The Psalm of Thanksgiving. Psalm 136. We'll just read through it. You'll have to give me a little leniency here as far as time. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Or sometimes we think, oh, I'm glad God is merciful. And we repeat the mistake and we repent and I'm glad God is merciful. God's mercy endures forever. We go to God asking for forgiveness, asking for repentance, and it may be something that is just very difficult to overcome. God, when he said, how long, when the disciples asked Christ, how often do we forgive one another? 7 times 7, hey, that's a lot, 49 times, ooh, right, yeah. Christ patted them on the pointy little head and said, no, 70 times 7. It's an attitude of forgiveness. God wants us to have an attitude of thankfulness. Verse 2, oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, stating that he is above all authority in the universe. All authority. To him alone does great wonders. Verse 5, to him who by wisdom made the heavens. Verse 6, to him who laid out the earth above the waters. Verse 7, to him who made great lights, the sun to rule the day, the moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. There's a poetic process here that his mercy endures forever. There's a reason that it's stated over and over. We need to understand that God's mercy exists forever. Verse 10, to him who struck Egypt in their firstborn, verse 11, and brought out Israel from among them with a strong hand, verse 13, to who divided the Red Sea, his mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. Verse 23, who remembered us in our lowly state, and rescued us from our enemies, who gives food to all flesh. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. A powerful statement. Let's go to the New Testament, Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Here is another basic instructions that we're to go through. Ephesians 5, verse 15. He's talking to the disciples. Paul is talking to the disciples, and it's more of a how-to for us. I like messages that are a how-to. I want to know how-to. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. I mean, every day is a day filled with trouble. And we need to be wise about how we deal with things. Therefore, verse 17, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We just covered that. Being thankful is part of the will of God. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dispensation, but be filled with the Spirit. We are to use God's Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know, while we are in this pandemic, I've noted a lot of emails and telephone calls and text messages that are going back and forth. Everyone is encouraging one another. And I can't say enough to just continue, because we all need one another during this difficult time. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Giving thanks always for all things. Regardless of what we're going through, we're to be giving thanks. We're to be giving thanks. Let's pop over to Colossians. There's a couple of things I want to address here in Colossians, just briefly. Again, I kind of use this as a hammer. You know, we got God's word here, and I want to hammer the theme down so that we all see it. Colossians 1 and verse 12. Verse 12. Well, let's go back to verse 9. Colossians 1 and verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, did not cease to pray for you and to ask that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. He was talking to individuals who lived under a dictatorship, who lived in a world where you had an emperor, Rome, and vassal states that didn't fully understand what this new theology was doing. And they had to live circumspectly, be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Sometimes whatever trial we're going through, we should go back to the basics, and that is that God called us out of this world regardless of situation we find ourselves in, and we should be thankful that we could be partakers of the inheritance that's coming, partakers of the world tomorrow. This world can be very difficult, but we know that this world isn't all there is. We know that there is a world tomorrow. Colossians 2, verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. This world wants to tear us down, this world being run by our one adversary, Satan, the devil, small s, who has deceived this entire world, who holds an emotional sway over this entire world, wants to destroy us specifically, this work specifically. But we are to walk with Jesus Christ using the power of God's Spirit. And as we've received Christ, walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as we've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. It's important to have an attitude of giving thanks. Colossians 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. It has to dwell in us. It has to live in us. Every day we wake up, we start with God's Spirit dwelling in us, the mind of Christ in us. However the day was before, we're starting a new day. We start with the mind of Christ in us. We should end our day with the mind of Christ in us. We're a new creation. We've combined human spirit, the man, spirit of man, with God's Spirit. We've become a new creation. And our perspective needs to be a godly perspective, regardless of what's going around us. Hard to do, but with God's Spirit can be done. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever situation we find ourselves in, we're not defined by the trouble, but we are defined by the actions and the reactions that we have. And whatever we do, we need to thank God. And if we're thanking God, our actions and reactions, it might be different than just a human reaction. Sometimes it's just a knee-jerk reaction, as they call it. We're going to have a thought-through action and reaction. Colossians 4:2. Just to continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. I don't think I'm overstating thanksgiving, the giving of thanks. It is an attitude of gratitude that we praise him and we thank him for, start with the basics. He's given us his Spirit. By giving us his Spirit, we understand spiritual things. The great minds of this world would love to know what you know, love to know what you understand. and how that you have a peace that goes beyond understanding this world doesn't have. This world sees that the midnight clock, whatever the clock that is, that when it hits midnight, the world ends. We've been close to 2 minutes to midnight, according to scientists. This world wants to know what you know. Just that alone, we should be thankful. And then God has given us his spirit, the earnest expectation of being an inheritor of the kingdom. And we've been given the spirit that God has created the world with. We have to think this through. We have been given God's spirit. On the surface, you might think, well, God is all powerful. God is all knowing. Why does God need our praise? Why does God need our thanksgiving? Why do we need to praise him and thank him? He already knows everything. He is the great God. He's the sovereign of the universe. There is no being greater than him. Some might say, well, God's up there saying, oh, listen to them talking to me. Yeah, right on. You bet. I deserve your praise. It's all right. Yeah, yeah. God isn't like that. He doesn't need our thanksgiving. He doesn't need our praise. But he wants us to be thankful for our sake. He wants us to be thankful for our sake. Praising him and thanking him benefits us. We recognize where all good comes from. We recognize just how weak and small we are compared to God. We don't lose sight of our relationship with God and our need for God in our lives. The more we are thankful and recognize what's around us, the more we are humbled and go before God as a humble being. We'll come to that. In a 2009 study by Florida State and Yale University, they conducted a study of, quote, benefits of expressing gratitude. Expressing gratitude to a partner changes one's view of the relationship. They did a study of an emotional event in people's lives of just expressing gratitude. And they discovered the very positive events or the very positive impact of being thankful when you're dealing with anyone in a relationship. There is trust that's built. There is a sense of happiness that is part of the experience. It increases a sense of communal strength. There's appreciation and value for what is done. You know, if God gives us everything and we don't care, we just take God for granted. We don't have a relationship. But when God gives us the benefits and the blessings that he does, and we acknowledge that, and we appreciate that, and we value that, there is a built up of a relationship. And we need the relationship with God much more than we need a relationship with this world. There's a huge difference. Being thankful is for our sake. Is for our sake. Gratitude is a social emotion that serves an important function in a relationship. That was part of their write-up, part of their results. The world that we know it thrives on the negative, hones in on what's down, what's wrong, what's missing, what's angry, what's hostile. And focusing on so much on what's negative, there's no room for giving thanks. There's no room for those who are thankful. Here's a study that indicates express gratitude brings about a blessing. And God has made that possible. God has made that possible. Yeah, I'm going to do it. While I was studying, I was putting this together, and there is a cause and effect that takes place. When we are thankful to God, when we recognize who we are compared to our God, when we see his hand in our life, we are humbled before him. We don't exaggerate our importance in his life. I do want to go to 2 Chronicles I was thinking about this morning, that this is one of the byproducts, as well as a how-to, as well as a continuation of how do we become one with God and Jesus Christ and with one another. How do we develop God's Spirit within us? How do we handle situations that we find ourselves in? So I'm going to take a left turn here, leave my notes. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 7. 2 Chronicles 7. Solomon had just finished the building of the temple, and he had a prayer. In fact, he built a stand for him to pray on in front of the people so the people could hear him. And he gave a prayer to God. And then here's part of God's answer to Solomon's prayer, part of the dedication from the dedication of the temple. Thankfulness leads to humility. Humility leads us to coming back to God. And when we come back to God in humility, we can repent. We can open our heart to him. We can confess our sins. We can ask for forgiveness. We can ask God the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to be part of our lives. But let's take a look here. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 12. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him. So the dedication is done. He has made this incredible prayer. The temple is done. The temple. We'll get back to that. And now he went to sleep. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. As the temple, and you had the temple ministry, and the sacrifices were brought to the temple. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locust to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if, I love this phrase. In fact, I've had a special note in this page of my Bible here for probably 25 years. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, if then, I love this, it's an if-then statement, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their lands. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place, made in the temple. If my people who are called by my name, when God gave you his Spirit, he put your name on him. God then says, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And then when we pray to him with a humble attitude, and we seek his face, seek his word, seek his wisdom, and seek forgiveness, he will hear the prayers from the temple. And the temple is us. Being thankful allows us to have that relationship with God so that we are humble before him. If my people will pray, if my people called by my name humble themselves, and a lot of times the word humble here is also included as to fast. And when we fast before God, it's not that he is seeking physical pain on our part, but that we recognize God is all to us. He is our salvation. He is our physical salvation. He is also our spiritual salvation. If my people who are called by my name, having his Spirit, seek my face and turn. See, there's qualifiers here. You have to go before God with humility. You have to seek his face. And you have to turn from what is right and wrong. You have to turn from what's wrong in your life. It's a wonderful if-then statement. A lot of people know that I like defined statements. If, then, so that, therefore, behold, all these statements bring me attention. You know, what's going to happen next? Why is it saying that? It is that important. And I like this, that my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayers made in this place, made in the temple. And you have God's Spirit. You are the temple of God. And when we go before God in humility, When we seek his face, when we turn from our ways, he hears our prayers. I mean, it is that important. I love 2 Chronicles 7. It is that important. When we pray, how much time is spent in thanking God, expressing appreciation to our request of want and need? Ancient Israel had a problem, and how quickly they forgot their God. One of the things that being thankful does, it keeps us focused on the caregiver, and God is our caregiver. We don't take him for granted. We don't take advantage. We can't take advantage of God, but we don't take him for granted. Let's just quickly turn to Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8. I now really have to watch my clock, but that's okay. Deuteronomy 8. This was written while Israel was still in the wilderness before they went into the promised land. They were being taught to be thankful and a reason for being thankful and how all of us need to be thankful for what God has done in our lives. Deuteronomy 8, verse 7. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees, of pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of those hills you can dig copper. Almost sounds like the United States. This world envies the resources of this nation. This was after 39 years plus of wandering around because they kind of messed things up. And he was telling them, you have great resources coming to you. Great resources. Verse 10. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. I want you to thank me. You're going to be full. You're going to have all the blessings here. You're not going to want. And I want you to bless my name. I want you to thank me. Why? Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. You know, once you're full, I don't want you to thank me. I want you to thank me and be thankful because I don't want you to forget me. Beware, verse 11. I've already read that. Lest, verse 12, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your hearts and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, that he might test you to do good in the end. You know, sometimes, why are we going through trials? God wants to strengthen us. He wants us to grow. God ties an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of thankfulness, with not forgetting God, not forgetting the one who gives us all the blessings, who is powerful in our lives in directing and guiding us. He doesn't want us to forget as Israel did. And sadly, today, you know, Thanksgiving is a day for turkey. Is a day for planning to shop on Friday, is planning to watch football games, is being thankful to themselves. There's no recognition that God established this nation and God has provided powerful blessings for a nation that blesses the world. God said he would bless the world through Abraham, and he has. He certainly has. Being thankful is an identifier. 2 Timothy 3, as we try and close this thing. 2 Timothy 3. Here we have an identifier at the end time of individuals who don't get it anymore, who don't get it. People say they'd like to know what are the conditions of the end time. You know, what does it look like at the end time? How does this all work? 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. They are. Lovers of money. Lovers of money. Boasters. Watch our celebrities. Proud. Wow, that's all around us. Blasphemers. There's nothing more prevalent than those who blaspheme God and his work. Disobedient to parents. Don't even touch that. Unthankful. There is no gratitude. There is no thankfulness. What's yours is mine, and what's mine is mine. And you owe it to me. There's an attitude of give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. But in the end time, one of the attitudes here listed, along with lovers of themselves and blasphemy, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, hot, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such we're supposed to turn away. This world will tell you, we know true Christianity, and yet they don't quote the book because they don't want to believe what's in the book. But they want the homage about being a Christian. They would like to look like being a Christian. Lacking thankfulness can blind an individual to the mind of God, to his plan, and to even his existence. In Luke 17, we won't go there, but 10 lepers were healed by Jesus Christ, healed them, and only one returned. Christ sent them to the priest, and yet only one out of 10 came back. A foreigner, a Samaritan, came back to thank him. People's thankfulness is almost in reverse proportion to the blessings they've been given. The more people have, the less thankful they are. It seems like the less people have, the more thankful they are. And we've had reports from our brethren in Africa who have an incredible thankfulness and humility and happiness without having anything in their lives compared to what's over here. We throw out what they would beg for. And yet they're happy. They're happy. When it comes to having something to be thankful for, we're thankful for what we have, not unthankful for what we don't have, can't have, or missing in our lives. We don't focus on the things that we would consider missing. But we're thankful for what we have in our lives, what we're given. Yeah, now I gotta throw some things out here. Let's go to Philippians 2. In the Psalms, it talks about be thankful for what God gives us on a daily basis, and he gives us daily benefits. Look it up. You can do a Google search on daily benefits. And God has daily. He blesses us daily. It's not once a week, once a month. It's daily. God is part of our lives. So, Philippians 2, verse 14. I knew if I took that turn, I'd have to throw some stuff out. Philippians 2, verse 14. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Sometimes we do things and we growl or we argue. That you may, this is a kind of a so that, do all things without complaining and disputing so that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Continue with the examples. Hold fast that which we taught. Have a zeal for the work. I would like to know that what I did in your life will bear fruit. Do all things without complaining or disputing. If we're thankful, we can do that. Being thankful can be also considered an excellent antidote for anxiety or worry. What? Yeah. Sometimes we run into depression and anxiety. We have anxiety issues. Philippians 4, verse 6. Being thankful is the antidote. Because when we put our mind back on God, when we look to God for our strength, when we look to God for all our answers, knowing that He can do anything and everything, and nothing is withheld from Him, and we give Him our troubles and our trials and our difficulties, and we humbly go before Him, our anxieties can go away. Philippians 4, verse 6. I implore you, Euodia, and I implore, why did I do that to myself? These people, to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So it goes along with the companion scripture I have, which is Isaiah 26:3. I love that scripture. Great peace have they whose mind is stayed on you because you trust in Him. To do that, you need a relationship. To do that, you need to know who God is. You need to trust Him to be your salvation. You need to have that relationship. And to do that, you need to be thankful. You need to be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 4:18 tells us to be thankful for all things. There is that list of things to be part of a Christian life, and that is the will of God, to be thankful for all things, no exceptions, no waivers, nothing left out. Being thankful must be a way of life. Being thankful must be a way of life. Let's close with Hebrews 13, verse 15. Verse 15. We're going to close here. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer our sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. When we sit down, when we kneel down before God and we give the sacrifice, putting our time in front of ourselves, praising God first. I have these needs. I have these wants. I want to bring you my friends. I want to bring you my brothers and sisters. Let me just start with my thankfulness. When we bring the sacrifice of thankfulness, the sacrifice of our lips, or in our case, mind, God heals, hears, and He wants us to have an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of thanksgiving, and offer the sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of thanksgiving. We have been given a great mandate from God, a challenging one, a difficult one, to be thankful for all things, yet it's the will of God that we be thankful for all things. And there's a direct benefit coming from being thankful. It is an important, identifiable Christian attribute that we must exercise on a daily basis. We've just been through Thanksgiving during a pandemic. not meeting with everyone, not having in-person services, health issues abound, and yet God wants us to be thankful. Let's make thankfulness a daily event.